Hey, before we get started today, I wanted to say thanks to all those folks who've already made a pledge of support to the agricultural programming, all the programming, in fact, that you hear on our home station at Illinois Public Media, or just for this program if you happen to listen online or on the air only to it. The thing is, you make a difference. This program comes to you, our programs come to you, because you, the public, help to fund them. And if you don't make that phone call, 217-244-9455, it sends a message. Send a message today, make the phone call. And if you've already made the pledge, maybe that was online at willpledge.org, thank you for doing so. I really, really do appreciate it. Well, it is the 16th day of September. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we will talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. In Chicago today, December corn finished 5¾ cents higher. That's $3.71¾. The March at 381 up 5¼. And the May futures 5 higher at 386¼. July contract at 389¾ for next year up 4¾. In December of 2021, that's the fall of next year, at 389¼, up 2¾. November beans 19¾ higher at $10.11¼. January 10¼, up 19½. March 18¼ higher at $10.14¼. July beans up 15½ at $10.15½. And November 2021 soybeans at $9.68¼, 8¾ higher. The bean oil futures up 86 cents, finished at $34.94. And the bean meal up $6.50 at $320.80 a ton. A soft red winter wheat July contract at $5.55¾, up 4. Hard red July up 6¼ at $5 even. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the October down 37½ at 106.72½. December was higher, though, up 37½ there at 111.95. That for 100 pounds. And feeder cattle finished the October down $1.27½ at $142.42½. Lean hogs for 100 pounds down 47½ cents at $65.22½. The energy markets trading crude oil up $1.97 a barrel at $40.26. Ethanol futures down a penny and a tenth at $1.29½. And heating oil up a penny and 8 cents at $1.11.07. Gasoline in the October at $1.18¢ per gallon, up 4¢. We're now joined by Jackie Vague. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the support and resistance levels this week.
Well, for December corn, we have support at 368, resistance at 387, crossover between the downtrend uptrend lines at 380. March support 374, resistance 393, crossovers at 418. Beans, November is support 987, resistance 1042, crossover is at 893. And we have to remember that these are off of continuous monthly charts. January support 962, resistance 1064, crossover at 905. We look at Dow Jones, support 26888. And resistance at 29,568. We made it to 29,199 the other day. The crossover between the downtrend uptrend is at 24,730. And we have now been up on the Dow 5 out of the last 6 months. The dollar index, support 92.06, resistance 94.65. And this is the 6 month on the dollar where we have a lower high and a lower low.
What do you see for the export market and the inspections?
Well, kind of interesting. You know, we just started the new crop year for corn and beans, so there are some interesting numbers there. Wheat exports are running 7.6% ahead of a year ago. They were up 2% last week, so they're doing pretty well. USDA is forecasting a 1% increase. Corn up 28.5% ahead of a year ago. USDA is projecting 31.7% increase right now, and soybeans are up 48.9% ahead of a year ago. New crop, we're in the new crop years, and the USDA is saying it's going to be up 26.4% by the time we get to the end of the year. Managed money has been pretty interesting, Todd. They went back. I know we didn't talk last week, but I went back and looked at where they were a week ago. And we had soft red wheat. They're currently long, 25,000 compared to 12 last week. Corn, all of these are long, 58,000 to 29,000 last week. Soybeans, 199,000 compared to 182 last week. Meal, 40 compared to 21. And soy meal, or soy oil, excuse me, 93 compared to 83. So managed money has definitely been a driver in the marketplace. They've shifted from being short at least three of these five markets to now being long on everything.
Why are soybeans up today?
Well, I tell you, word on the street is that China came in and they bought 15 or 20 cargoes. That'd be about 4.5 to 6 million bushels of beans for December, January delivery. So that pushed us into new contract highs on November 20. And now the question will be is, you know, does it come true? It has been all the time lately, so that's certainly what they're betting on. But, you know, if you look at the marketplace, yes, we put in a new contract high. I think we are going to find ourselves in a consolidation mode pretty soon because it's getting more difficult all the time to feed enough positive news to the market to be able to make it to believe that it's going to continue to just go higher and higher and higher.
Is that especially the case because corn hasn't followed suit nearly so much?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you look at corn, you know, beans up five times as much as corn. That's pretty amazing. And yet, you know, China's been a really active buyer of corn, Todd. There's been no question about that. And I believe they're still going to be an active buyer of corn. But, you know, we've got harvest coming in. We saw maturity way ahead. We're hearing crazy things like 60 bushel dryland bean production out in Nebraska, 160 to 190 dryland corn out in Nebraska. You know, you got a question now. There's places in Nebraska, if you go western Nebraska, it's terrible. But you look at some of the other areas and you just wonder, where are we really going to end up? Nobody has a really good idea, but corn just doesn't have the story at this point in time that gives it enough. And, you know, we normally see some spreading going on. I think we do have some spreading going on, but I think there's more of a demand issue with beans. And yet I'm surprised because, you know, January beans are still, they're still carrying the bean market. So, you know, I've been on my, standing on my book, my soapbox saying, scale up your sales, watch your basis closely. You know, futures for beans are saying sell it now. That market still has carry, so the needs are now. Now the corn basis has been really good, especially in areas where they want really quick delivery. You know, and these moisture levels are really low, Todd, for this time of year. It's pretty amazing. So I think, too, that one of the things that's kind of dogging the corn market is that the belief is that farmers are going to sell beans like they normally do and hold on to corn. And so that might help us from an end user standpoint, where the end users might come in and buy the futures to try and protect themselves. But in the long run, it won't be the best thing. You know, we normally see some bear spreading in this market, you know, where they would buy the March, sell the December. But I looked at it, and from a seasonal standpoint, that normally doesn't happen until we get past the October report. Not sure it'll be the same this year, but that's been seasonally the way it's been. And so this market right now is just having a good time.
Okay, so a couple of things. We haven't talked since USDA released the WASDE report on the 8th of the month because we didn't talk last week. And then each and every week, you kind of give us an update on where you expect corn yields to be. Can you talk about both of those things for me?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to hit on the soil moisture, too. I thought some of this was pretty interesting this week. When you looked at the highest soil moistures were in Tennessee, Arkansas, Minnesota, Kentucky, and there was a three-way tie between Louisiana, Michigan, and North Carolina. For weeks now, we fought to even get five states into that level, and now we have eight. But the five states with the lowest soil moisture, South Dakota, Indiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Dakota. So interestingly enough, we don't see Iowa in there anymore. And so I think that that's significant. When you looked at the USDA report, Todd, you compare August to September, it was pretty interesting. Most of the increases that came in corn yields, Pennsylvania was up 9 bushel, Minnesota up 3, North Dakota 2, South Dakota 1, Wisconsin 1. And then we start to get into some of the bigger states. Indiana was down 2, Nebraska was down 3, Ohio was down 3, Illinois down 4. Missouri was down 6, Kansas down 7, and of course, Iowa was down 11. And all of that brought us to that 3.3 bushel decline that we saw down to 178.5, which is still a heck of a crop when you come right down to it. I guess I'm too old, right? I've been around too long to look at those numbers and not think, wow, this is amazing what these crops can do, you know, and what a good, you know, subsoil moisture profile can do. And, you know, you and I just had a conversation about how great the root systems are on these particular crops nowadays. So when we look at soybean yields, changes from August to September, we saw Kentucky up one, Minnesota one, North Carolina and Tennessee up one. Now we go to the bigger states, Indiana down one, Illinois down two, Kansas two, Missouri two, Nebraska two, Ohio two, South Dakota two, Michigan three, and Iowa four. So all of that gave us that 1.4 bushel drop that we saw down to 51.9, which, and you know, 51.9 is certainly not anything to sneeze at. It's still a very good crop. But, you know, we have a lot of things going on in the marketplace that say this could be a very different year from what this last year was.
Hey, you know, if you've not dialed in yet, I'll take a moment here because it is Fall Fun Drive, 217-244-9455. If voices like Jackie Vakes each and every Wednesday make a difference in your week, if you tune in because of that, maybe 217-244-9455 is a place you can dial in now to pledge your support to agriculture that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. A couple of other things to take up. We always look at South America, and you always dig up some really good stuff, not only there, but from China as well. What'd you find this week, Jackie?
Well, Brazil is kind of, it's an interesting place right at the moment. Remember just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the ag minister was talking about lifting some of the tariffs, corn, beans, possibly rice, possibly. And the commodity groups just came in and just took them apart. And what did they do? They lifted the 8% tariff on all imported rice right now up to, I think, 400,000 metric tons. So you've got to wonder if corn and beans are coming next. Now, why? Food prices for beef and rice are just through the roof in Brazil. So food inflation is always a political concern. And when you look at the total domestic supplies of corn and beans, they're extremely tight, just like the rice and the beef number. So, you know, these prices have been really good, just like here in the U.S. You know, when we have good prices, it's good for the producer, not necessarily good for the end user unless he's been very proactive. And so you see a lot of poultry and hog producers in southern Brazil really hurting. The large end users have already imported about 500,000 tons of soybeans from Paraguay by the end of August and 200,000 tons of corn. And that's because they can actually get it cheaper out of Paraguay than they can get it out of Brazil itself. So I think the odds of us importing or exporting soybeans and corn down to Brazil are really pretty good, especially if this dry weather causes more planting delays in that southern central Brazil area. You know, for the first time ever, Mato Grosso is actually going to produce more corn bushels than bean bushels in 2021. So that speaks volumes to the demand that exists down there. When you look at the bigger picture, you know, this week, of course, La Nina broke. Everybody's talking about it. Well, you and I have been talking about it for a long time. It's just that they finally confirmed, yes, they have a La Nina. But I think people have to be careful about thinking that that means that the bean crop is going to be impacted. The reality is the Safrinha corn crop is probably going to be the one that is going to have the toughest time because they can actually plant the beans and still get a good crop. But it's extremely important when they plant that Safrinha corn and to be able to get a good crop because of the heat. And so on top of that, they're warning the farmers down there to be very careful not to plant their beans until they have enough rain and enough soil moisture because bean seeds are extremely in short supply. So if they mess up and they need to replant, they may not be able to get the beans that they want. So a lot of really interesting things happening. Argentina, they're pretty off to a pretty slow start when it comes to planting. They, you know, not unusual for them. They're just that much further to the south. They got about 1% of their corn crop planted. They don't have any of their bean crop, but they don't normally start that until the middle of October. And you kind of hit on China a little bit. China is always, of course, you know, our number one thing we like to talk about. They're purchasing corn and beans just like they had been. Now that typhoon is expected to trim their corn production by 5 to 10 million metric tons. And corn prices are at record high. So, you know, the big word has been, ooh, they're going to purchase 15 to 20 million metric tons and a bunch is going to come from the U.S. Well, yeah, that's exciting. But they've already purchased 9.3 from the U.S. and 4 from the Ukraine. So that's 13.3 million metric tons. Well, if you're looking 15 to 20, that's pretty close to the low end of expected buying. So for all of you out there who are listening and you're going to try and bank your sales on the idea that China is just going to continue to pound our doors for corn, they may, but they also may not.
We appreciate it, and thank you for the service over the years. We appreciate that, too, and
yep.
I know the listeners do as well, and it makes a difference to them. And that just reminds me that it's Fall Fun Drive, and 217-244-9455. You have a great day. Would you please, Jackie?
Yeah. Well, can I say something
sure.
on the fun drive?
Yeah.
Is that okay? I just wanted to say that, you know, please support the agricultural part of this radio station with everything you can, because, you know, I work with clients from all over the United States. There's nobody who has anything like WILL. As big as Iowa is, they have nothing compared to this. They have some big radio stations, but nobody who does for their producers what WILL does for you. So please be generous. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you, Jackie. You too. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated now joins us from Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, thanks, Drew, for being with us, and thanks for all the work you do here at Illinois Public Media. I know that our listeners appreciate it, and, well, appreciate it enough, I think, that they'll, through this fall fun drive, make a pledge of support at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Again, honestly, you and the meteorologist that serve us all week long make a big difference to the radio station. And thank you for doing that, too. I do appreciate it, Drew.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you guys are doing for the ag industry is phenomenal. And you should be patting yourself on the back. At the same time, I think everybody should be sending in a check or doing an online contribution, because there are only a few ag broadcasting groups out there that I would say that about. I think it's amazing that the coverage you do and the work that you do, and I think everyone out there who's in the business benefits greatly from it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. There's a long history here, and I'm just glad to be part of it. Anyway, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Everything that's been happening, Drew, you tell me, is kind of coming out of the tropics, and it's made parts of the world boring, but the tropics have been really pretty interesting. What's happening across the planet in the growing regions?
Yeah, you know, it is exactly what you described there. We have so much tropical activity going on around the world right now that all of the mainland production areas are really kind of going through a little bit of a quiet period. You know, all that frost and freezes that we had a week or so ago in the middle of the U.S. came because of a tropical cyclone or two out there in the eastern part of Asia and forced all this cold air to the south. So if it had not been for those two storms out there, we wouldn't have gotten cold. And now, of course, we're dealing with Sally in the southeastern U.S. Unfortunately for those farmers there, there's going to be quite a bit of rough conditions across some of the crop areas. I think cotton is probably the one crop that'll get beat up most significantly. But even in some of the soybean and peanut country there may be a little bit of negativity. But the good news is for here in the heart of the Midwest is that we're not going to be seeing much active weather. The storm Sally in the southeastern U.S. will rob all of the atmospheric moisture and prevent it from coming up our way. So good harvest weather coming up for at least the next 10 days. Now, Sally's not going to be around for 10 days, But there's another little disturbance out there in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico, and it is expected to organize and probably won't become a real serious threat to the U.S. Proper, but it will continue to keep the tropical moisture tied up in the Gulf of Mexico and, again, restrict any northward movement of that moisture into the Midwest. So as long as the tropics stay active, which will be at least another 10 days, we're not going to see much opportunity for change across the Midwest. So a very good period of crop maturation and harvest progress is expected here. Now, the same thing is kind of happening in the rest of the world. The Asian and European communities there are stuck in a rut, too. We're seeing very dry conditions in much of Europe. There is a chance for some rain to develop in France, which has been dry all summer long. This is going to take place as we go through this coming weekend and on into next week. But the entire eastern half of Europe, including Germany, will likely stay in a dry weather mode for the next 10 days, just like we are here at home. And we expect the Black Sea countries to also experience dry conditions. So there's a lot of concern in those areas about planting moisture for winter wheat and rye and some barley, and so even rapeseed in some areas. So there is some interest in the sense that the dryness might delay some emergence and establishment. But overall, the harvest environment is really quite good.
What's happening in South America?
Well, you know, the South America situation has been pretty dry for Argentina for a while. And like everywhere else I've talked about so far, there's really not an opportunity for change in Argentina. And in La Nina developing years like this, we probably will continue to see a below average precipitation bias in that area. So the early planting of corn and sunseed is likely to get off to a poor start in some areas there. And of course, winter wheat and barley development will not advance very successfully without a better rain distribution. And just like the rest of the world, we're at least 10 days away from any kind of significant change there. Now, Brazil's a little bit different because it looks like there's going to be some moisture moving through center west and some center south crop areas. And that moisture is going to help to stimulate perhaps a little bit of an increase in topsoil moisture, and maybe some early soybean planting can get underway in the next 10 days or so. Now, I think this precipitation will be very erratic, so a close watch on the situation is going to be warranted. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see the precipitation distribution in Brazil to be a lot like last year, and so it might not be quite as successful in getting a lot of aggressive field progress to be completed without a more serious increase in precipitation. So that's another area that we'll probably need to keep a little bit of an eye on over these next few weeks.
I'm sure we will be asking you about it. Hey, thanks for taking the time with me today.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Why? Because we really think you are important. And we really hope that you think we're important too, if that is the case. 217-244-9455 is the number to call with your pledge of support. Don't wait. Do it right now or at willpledge.org.